Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Menachos Daf Mem Aleph. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur will commence from the 9th line from the top on Daf Mem Aleph. Before we begin the shiur, we will take advantage of one of the features of the Shas Ozer pre-marked Gemara that is the basis of our Gemara marking system. The Nosei, a topic heading, will appear in the outside margin, and we have included under this Nosei heading the following: Talis Kfula, an article of clothing that was very long and it was folded over, Vehitil Tzitzis Bakefel, and two of the tzitzis, two of the four tzitzis, were attached to the corner, the new corner that's formed by the fold in the garment. Tofra v'hitil bo tzitzis. The Gemara will also mention the folded over garment, but in this case, in addition to it being folded over, it was also sewn shut. We have an illustration to help appreciate this particular discussion. You can see on the inside margin a rather crude illustration due to the lack of artistic ability of our in-house artist, but nevertheless it does exist. You can see a human form with a talus that's folded over, and the fold is close to the head of the person, and at that point there are, you can see, two tzitzis attached to the newly formed corners, in addition to two more tzitzis that are at the end of the talus, the bottom, it's at the corners of one of the loose ends. Turning now to the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan. We see a framed section, that's a Tanaic source. In our marking system, we attempt to frame off all Tanaic sources to set them apart from the rest of the Gemara literature. Talis kfula chayeves betzitzis. A folded over garment needs to have tzitzis put into the corners. Rabbi Shimon poter. Rabbi Shimon exempts it. V'shoven shim kofla v'tofra shechayeves. There will be agreement, namely even Rabbi Shimon will concede that if it's been folded over and sewn shut, that it is chayev. A word about Shitas Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon does not require tzitzis to be placed in the fold of such a garment, because if you open up the garment, unfold it that is, the tzitzis will come out in the middle of the garment. And the middle, of course, is not the place for tzitzis. However, if it's sewn shut, then everyone agrees that tzitzis can be placed in the four corners, in two of which are the fold. So the Gemara asks, regarding the sewing halacha, tofra pshita, if it's sewn shut, that's obvious that it's chayev in tzitzis. What do I need the Tanaic source to tell me that? The Gemara answers, lo tzricha denokta besichi. The what we called sewn shut isn't really sewn shut. It's clipped shut, or with little basichi are pegs, or possibly what we might refer to as needles. It's kept shut in that form. So even though it's not such a permanent type closing, nevertheless, the source indicates that everyone agrees the folded over garment is now considered a new garment, so to speak, and the folded corners require tzitzis. As we go on in the Gemara, we have a long marking. You can see to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text a maisa word. The word maisa is encircled with a vertical dashed line. That indicates that that which is opposite this vertical dashed line in the Gemara forms an incident. Rabo bar Huna, ikla lebe Rabo bar Rav Nachman. So Rabbo Bar Rav Huna visited Rabbo Bar Rav Nachman. Here the first names are the same, so it would be of help to emphasize the father's names to note the distinction. So the visiting Rabbo Bar Rav Huna noticed Chazio Dehavim Michsi Talis Kfula. He noticed that the Rabbo Rav Nachman was wearing a folded talis, V'rami Lechuti Ilui Kfela, and the tzitzis, the chuti or the tzitzis, were placed in the corners at the point of the fold. This, of course, is illustrated by our crude illustration on the inside margin. If shita, he opened it up, unfolded it, the osa chuta v'kom lahad resha, and after opening up the fold, the section that had originally been the fold is now essentially in the middle of the garment, and the middle of the garment is where his head is where the, in the illustration, if you can imagine opening up the folded garment, where would the tzitzis come out now? They would come out at the point that is opposite his head. Amalei, so Rabbo Bar Rav Huna says, Lav hainu knaf dekosav rachmona b'raisa. This is not the intention or the meaning of the word knaf that's mentioned in the Torah. Al kanfei bigdehem, the Pasuk says. And knaf indicates an edge or a corner, not in the middle of the garment. Also shadye, so Rabbo Bar Rav Nachman took it off. He took off this garment, ichsi glimo achriti, and put on another garment. Omar lay. So Rabbo Bar Rav Huna says, do you think that it's sufficient that you simply took off the garment? Mi savris choivas gabrahu. Who says that tzitzits are an obligation on the person wearing the garment, or an obligation on a person while he is wearing the garment? That's not accurate. Chovas talis hu, zil rami law. Rabbo Bar Rav Huna says that the obligation is upon the beged. In other words, the owner of the beged, the owner of the garment, is obligated to see to it that the garment has tzitzis in it, as opposed to chovas gavra, which would have been an obligation upon the person wearing a garment that needs tzitzis. Only while he's wearing it would it be obligated. That's according to chovas gavra. However, if you say chovas talis, it goes further and suggests even if the person is not wearing the garment, it's rather an obligation on the owner to see to it that the garment has tzitzis in it. Therefore, being that you took off the garment, that doesn't exempt you. You therefore have to place tzitzis in it. Zil rami lo, go place tzitzis in the garment that you just took off in a proper fashion. Lemo misayalei. Can we suggest that the following Tanaic source supports the concept of choivas talis? This is a source we've seen in a previous shiur. Chasidim horishonim, the early pious ones, kevon she'orgu ba sholosh, as soon as they wove a garment and reached three fingers of material, three fingers as a dimension, a length of material, hoyu, in this case we should say maybe the width of the material that has been woven is three fingers in length, immediately hoyu matilin ba treles. They would put treles, treles as a word indicating tzitzis. So what do we see from here? We see that even though they weren't going to be wearing this thing, immediately upon its being woven, they already saw to it that tzitzis were in it. That would seem to indicate that it's a chovas talis as opposed to a chovas gavra. If it were a chovas gavra, why should they bother putting tzitzis until they actually would wear it? So the Gemara answers or responds that we cannot say that this is a support. Shaini chasidim, the pious ones, are not a source of proof. The machmiri anafshai, they simply, because they are exceptionally pious, they impose on themselves stringencies that are not necessitated by the letter of the law. Upligo de malocha, Rabbo Bar Rav Huna's contention that the tzitzis are choivas talis is pliga, is at odds with or against or different from the opinion of the angel What is the opinion of the angel? That will be revealed shortly in the Gemara. Before going further in the Gemara, we have a long point marking. You can see to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, a nun that's encircled with a vertical dashed line, indicating that all of these lines of Gemara essentially develop the point that we want to make concerning the opinion of the Malach, the opinion of the angel. Before going further in the Gemara itself, we also have a topic heading that sheds light on a certain aspect of this long point, the Nosei. Hakpodas Shamayim, the insistence of the Almighty, or the concern, the holding accountable of the Almighty upon the accountability of man, al mi shemechapes liftor atzmo mikiyu mitzvah saseh. The Kodesh Baruch Hu's holding accountable someone who attempts to exempt himself from the fulfillment of positive mitzvahs. And we're talking here about positive mitzvahs that are not necessarily obligatory, like the putting on of tefillin or the taking of lulav and esrog during Sukkos, but we're talking about those kind of mitzvahs that are not obligatory, but if one were to do them, he would be in fulfillment of a positive mitzvah. So there is a situation, and that will become obvious in the Gemara, of a person specifically attempting to escape or avoid or maybe evade being mekayim this kind of positive command. At this point, we turn back to the Gemara. Upligo de Malocha. As we mentioned before, Rabbo Barav Huna, who mentioned that tzitzis are a choivas talis, is at odds with Malocha. De Malocha ashkeche le Rav Katina, the Maloch, the angel, met Rav Katina and found him de michsi sadina, that he was wearing a linen article, an article of clothing. Omalei, the Maloch said, Katina, Katina, sadina bekaita, v'sarbelo besisva. Tzitzis shel tcheles ma tehe oleha. The Malach says, Katina, look at you. You're wearing linen bekaito in the summertime, being a lightweight type of garment. And as we've learned earlier, there is a gzeira de rabbonon not to put tzitzis in linen garments. Rashi quotes as the reason here, as the gzera of Shemo Yikra, that it might tear, and the problem of the loose string then being used for making tzitzis. So there's a gzera against, or we should say more accurately, the Rashi here quotes as the reason for not putting tzitzis into linen garments is a gzera mishum ksus laila, because of nighttime garments which are not chayav in tzitzis in the first place. And as we discussed earlier, if one were to put tzitzis in a nighttime garment, he would in effect be putting wool in linen, wool being the tchelas strings are dyed wool, and that's a shatnez problem. And since it's not chayav in tzitzis, you're dealing with pure shatnez, and you don't have the mitzvah of tzitzis to supersede it in that case. So linen are exempt from tzitzis. And in the winter, the Malach points out to Rav Katina that he wears a sarbala. Sarbala is a kind of garment that has only two corners to it. The other end of the garment is a rounded shape. So as a result of his behavior, in the summertime wearing linen, in the wintertime wearing sarbala, when are you ever going to be mekayim tzitzis? Tzitzis shel tcheles ma teolel. He says, when are you ever going to be mekayim the mitzvah of tzitzis? Omalei. So Rav Katina says back, An shisu aasei? Are you suggesting that I could be punished for not being mekayim, not fulfilling a mitzvah saseh that I am not obligated in? After all, if I wear sadin, it's exempt from tzitzis. If I wear sarbala, it's exempt from tzitzis. What wrong have I done? Why should I be held accountable for that? Amalei, so the Malach answers, Bizman diiko rischa anshinon, when the Almighty becomes overcome with rage, Then he takes out all the books, so to speak. He then investigates all of people's actions, and even mitzvahs like that, mitzvahs that one is not obligated to perform, if the Almighty finds that people don't perform these, we'll call them voluntary kind of mitzvahs, he will hold them accountable. That's the nature of idna derischa, the time of wrath. At this point, then, the Gemara now ties this back into our discussion. We mentioned that the Malach holds different than Rabba Bar Rav Huna. Rabba Bar Rav Huna holding that tzitzis is a chevas talis, the Malach holding chevas gavra. So the Gemara explains, "E amris bishlamo chevas gavra." If you say very well that tzitzis are a personal obligation upon a person when he is wearing a garment requiring tzitzis, hainu de mechayev de lo ka rami. Therefore, I can understand that Rav Katina is being held accountable in that he didn't put it on, he didn't obligate himself in it by putting on such a garment. But if you say that the tzitzis are an obligation regarding the garment itself, namely that the owner must see to it that the garment has tzitzis in it, but halo mechayva, these garments, the sarbala and the sadina, are not obligated in the first place. So why is there any concern or accountability with regard to Rav Katina's behavior? Elomai chovas gabrahu. So what do you want to say? Do you want to conclude from here that because the Malach is holding Rav Katina accountable, it is therefore a chovas gabra, it's an obligation upon the person? Nehi dechayve rachmona ki michsi talis debas chiyuv. I understand that a person is chayev, a person is obligated when he wears a garment that needs to have tzitzis in it. Ki michsi talis delav bas chiyuvahi, if he is wearing a garment that is not obligated in the first place to have tzitzis in it, mi chayve rachmona. Does the Torah hold such a person accountable? So once again, why the hakpoda on Rav Katina? Once again, even if you say it's a chovas gavra, it's the person's obligation to see to it that he has tzitzis in the garment that he is wearing. That is true if the garment that he's wearing requires to have tzitzis in it in the first place. But in this case, that is not the case. Ela. Hachi ka'amarle. The Malach was saying as follows: Tatsdiki lemiftar nafshoch mitzitzis. You seem to be scheming. Tatsdiki would be schemes to exempt yourself from tzitzis by choosing garments that in fact are not obligated. You appear to be trying to evade the mitzvah or the necessity of having tzitzis. And it's because of that that there is this sense of accountability that one can be held in. Amar Rav Tuvi bar Kisno Amar Shmuel, Kli kufso chayovin betzitzis. Garments that are in a box, in other words, even those garments that you're not wearing, they are obligated to have tzitzis in them. Umoide Shmuel, bezokein shaso lichvodo, shiptura. Shmuel will concede, though, that shrouds, that's what is implied by this expression, zokein shaso lichvodo, shrouds for the deceased, those, even though they're kept in a box, those are exempt from having tzitzis in them. My taimo, asher techasebo omar rachmono. The posuk describing tzitzis, mentioning the obligation of tzitzis, says that which you wear. Hai lav luchsuye avida. Shrouds are not designed to be worn by a person. However, bahi shaita vadai romino le. When the shrouds are taken out of the storage, out of the box, and clothed on the deceased, then we do place tzitzits in the shrouds that the deceased is clothed in, mishum loye glorosh cheref oiseu. Because if one were not to do it, it would be a type of jeering at the deceased. whereby everyone around has tzitzis in their garments, and the deceased doesn't have. It would be a sense of ridicule, if you will, that, oh, here, because you are deceased, you don't have a chance to mekayem mitzvahs. So as to prevent this situation of arising, we say that when the deceased is clothed in the in his shrouds, he too will have tzitzit in it. As you can see, we have a slash mark in the Gemara indicating that that which follows is a new idea. Omar Rachba, Omar Vida, Talis Shenikra, a garment that developed a rip in it. Chutz L'Sholosh Yitfor, if the rip is beyond three etzbos, three fingers width from the edge, then you are allowed to mend it, to sew it up. Toich Shalosh, if the rip is within three finger breadths from the edge, which is a place, which is a distance that's fit to have tzitzis in, Rabbi Meir Omer lo yitfor, v'chomam Omer yitfor. Rabbi Meir says, I don't want you to sew it up. And Rabbi Meir's concern is that if one does sew a rip that's close to the edge of a garment, after sewing there may be a string that's left, and the string having sufficient length to form a tzitzis. And the owner of such a garment will say, well, I have one string already there. All I have to do is add another few and have a total of four, and I'll thereby be able to make my tzitzis. The problem is that first string was not put in the garment for the purpose of tzitzis. And if post facto you end up using it as a tzitzis, there will be a problem of ta'aseh v'lo min ha'osui. So Rabbi Meir rules against sewing. V'chachomim omrim yitfor, the chomim say, you can sew it up and we're not worried about that situation. V'shavin, there is agreement, shelo yovi, afilu amo al amo, mimokoim acher, ubo tcheles, v'toile bo. One should not bring a piece of clothing that measures even an amo by an amo, and it has in it it has tzitzis attached to it, and with the you're bringing this piece of cloth, which is from from another article of clothing, and attaching it to this article of clothing. The problem there is a real ta'aseh v'lo min ha'osui situation. If we look at the Rashi, mimokom acher, second line from the bottom, mitalis acheres, bringing a piece of cloth from another garment, v'yesh bo tcheles, and it has in it tzitzis, v'toile bo, and attach it to this article of clothing, mishum, the problem is the al kanfei bigdeyem bo'inon. The mitzvah is to place tzitzis into the corner of a particular garment. Uknaf zeh, the corner that you're importing, so to speak, that you're bringing and attaching to this garment, to this second garment, lo hoya mi beged zeh b'shas asiya. The tzitzis that are attached to this piece of clothing that you're attaching to a second article of clothing, when it becomes attached, we notice that the tzitzis were not put into the corner of this second garment. The tzitzis were there as a part of a first garment. So with regard to the second garment that I'm now going to wear, the tzitzis were not placed in its corner. And that's a problem of what the Rashi points out, it's not al kanfei bigdehem. Continuing in the Tanaic source, v'shavin, there is agreement, shemevi tcheles mimokom acher, one is allowed to remove tzitzis from a particular garment, v'toile bo, and transfer it to this second garment, u'bovad shaloi tehe mufsekes, provided the strings are complete and not ripped. The Gemara asks, Shamis mino, should we conclude from this, matirin mi beged lebeged? The truth is that this is a controversy between Rav and Shmuel that will be featured later in the Gemara. And the issue is, can one remove tzitzit from a perfectly good garment and transfer it to a second garment that is in need of tzitzit? That's called matirin mibeged lebeged. From this Tanaic source, it would seem that one would be allowed to do that. Well, that would then settle the machlokes between Rav and Shmuel and side with Shmuel's opinion that will appear later. And yet we don't know that that is the case. We know that Rav holds ein matirin libeged lebeged, as the Gemara will point out later on. So what are we to do with what appears to be conclusive from this source, from this Tanaic source? The Gemara therefore says we're not going to conclude that one is allowed to transfer tzitzit from a perfectly good garment to a second garment. Dilma de'i bol'i. Maybe what this source is talking about when we say there's agreement that one is allowed to transfer tzitzit, we're talking about the removal of tzitzit from a garment that's already worn out. That situation is not the controversy that we see later between Rav and Shmuel. Therefore, this source cannot be used to prove one side of the issue concerning matirin mibeged lebeged, because the issue of matirin mibeged lebeged concerns the removal of tzitzit from a perfectly good garment to transfer them to another garment that requires tzitzit. Before going further, since we encountered this triangle at the top line, we want to take note of our mivneh heading that we have in the outside margin, Shamis Mina. We have this Shamis Mina with a triangle, and a few lines later as well, Nisyonos, these represent attempts, Lifshot HaShelah, to resolve the issue or the question, Haim Matirin Tzitzis, can one remove Tzitzis Mibeged, Shuba Matzav Tov, from an article of clothing that's in good shape, Lebeged, to put them into another article of clothing. So as we just said, we're not going to conclude that, because maybe what this source is talking about a worn out piece of clothing. Continuing in the Gemara, we now encounter two Tanaic sources. They will be noted as Roman numeral number 1 and then number 2. The issue will be that we will focus on is a case of talis shekula tcheles. How does one put? How does one treat it with regard to tzitzis? Of course, one should bear in mind that the general mitzvah of tzitzis is one has four strings, two of which are white, and two of which are dyed wool, dyed blue. Wool that's dyed blue. The white strings, as we've learned in previous sugyas, are a kiyum, a fulfillment of the requirement of hakonof, min konof, which means that two of the strings should resemble the nature of the garment itself. And since most garments were linen garments, and linen is white, white strings would be a fulfillment of min kanaf. The other two strings are the psil tcheles, the dyed wool strings that are necessary as far as kiyum mitzvahs tzitzis on a l'chadchila doraisa level. Tanu Rabbanan, talis shet kulo tcheles. If you have an article of clothing that is that is itself tcheles, kol mine tzivoinin poitrin ba chutz mikolo ilan. As far as the basic min kanof, you have the two wool dyed tcheles strings. There is an expectation that because most clothing are not made of tcheles, most clothing therefore have two different kinds of colors. They have the tcheles plus some other two strings that are resemble the garment itself. In this case, the source is telling us any other colors will be useful in fulfilling the requirement of a second color. If we look in the Rashi, kol minei tzvoim potrin bo, on the first narrow line, l'shum lavan. Any other color will be a fulfillment of the idea behind the white strings. As we mentioned, the white strings are a fulfillment of the min kanaf. The kevan de min kanaf lekulukumi ba. Since in this case of the talishet chelis, these additional two strings are not going to be used to fulfill this concept of min kanaf. Ein l'chol l'chazer achar lovan. The white strings will not be a fulfillment of min kanaf. Therefore, I don't have to seek out white strings. Elishu ba shnei minim. All that we are really interested in is having two strings of another color. The source tells us that the other colors that one may choose can be any other color, chutz mikola ilan, except for using the kola ilan dye. Kola ilan is what we've seen in previous Gemaras. It's a type of blue dye, but it's not tchelis. We can call it a counterfeit tchelis. The second Tanaic source says, talis ein poter bo elamina. When you're trying to fulfill the mitzvah of tzitzis, besides the tchelis strings, you have to have two strings that are like the garment itself. Talis shetula tchelis, maybe tchelis v'dover acher v'tole bo. If the garment is tchelis, so you bring, use two tchelis strings for the tzitzis, plus two other strings of whatever. V'kolo ilon lo yovi v'imhevi kosher. Don't bring as the other two strings kolo ilon, but if you do, it's okay. Well, we see with the dashed underlining in the first source, we had dashed underlined chutz mikolo ilon, that's not acceptable. In this Tanaic source, we see that imhevi kosher, referring to the kolo ilon, that it is acceptable as the two other strings. How do we resolve the two sources? Omar Rav Nachum bar Yitzchok lo kashya. Kan betalis bas arba'o chutin. Kan betalis bas shmoine chutin. If you have a talis, a garment that has a total of four chutim in it, then that would be what source number two is talking about. If there's a total of four strings in it, two, let's say, of tchelis and two of kola ilan, there is no fear that someone is going to remove strings from this garment to place into a second garment. And that's because if you reduce from four, you're not in fulfillment of a mitzvah of tzitzis. However, if you have a garment that has eight strings in it, then there is a fear that the owner of the garment, seeing that he has extra strings in it, he may remove four of the strings in anticipation of using them in another garment. Now, if he has eight strings in the garment, four of which, let's say, are kola ilon, and four of which are tchelis, and he removes strings from that garment, so just as an example, he may remove the four kola ilon strings and use them as if they were tchelis strings in another garment. After all, if there are eight strings in the garment, then there would be reason for a person to feel he's got a surplus and he can use them in another garment. Therefore, if you have such a situation, if you have a talis shetula kula tchelis and you want to put eight strings in it, you can put four tchelis and four of anything else other than kola ilon. Because if you choose kola ilon, as we said, you're inviting trouble. You're inviting the possibility of his removing the extra strings, and that he may in fact remove the kola ilon strings and use them as if they're tchelis in another garment. And if he's going to use, for example, kola elon strings, that's wool that's dyed with kola elon, and combine them with white strings for in a second garment, and that garment, let's say, happens to be linen, he in fact will be creating a shatnez problem, being that he's not using wool that's dyed with tcheles. If we glance at the Rashi, betalis bashmoyne chutim, arba tcheles, he had four tcheles strings, vehitil bo arba kol ilon, lekayim mitzvah shnei minim, and he put in another four strings dyed with kola elon, the counterfeit blue, in order to mekayim this idea of two kinds, two varieties. Psula, that will be no good. And that's what source one was talking about. Tahoyu ulabar kola elon ikochutin kol tzorcha. Since in such a case, besides the kola elon strings that he is adding, he's got enough strings. Chayshinon dilmo itzterich l'talis achriti. We're fearful that he may need tzitzis for a second article of clothing. V'shokil hanoch t'tcheles mehocha. V'toli lohosim. He may take the tcheles strings that are in this first garment and add them to the second garment. V'leka ochelo kola elon. And then in the original garment, he'll be left only with kola elon strings, or possibly the other way around. Inami shokil hanoch de kola elon v'toli ba. And as we said, using kola elon in another garment without tcheles, he in effect is going to be using strings that are not kosher for the mitzvah of tzitzis. But just to review the point again, if he has a garment where there's a total of four strings in it, in other words, there were two tcheles strings, and in order to be mekayim the concept of two minim, two kinds in the corners of a garment, he happens to choose kola elon, and now he has a total of four strings, and not eight, just four strings, then there's no fear that he's going to remove strings from this garment and place it in a second garment. Turning back to the Gemara, Omer of Nachman Yitzchok, well, we read that already. We'll read it again. Kan betalis bas arba chutin. Source number two that said kol ilan lo yavi v'mehavi kosher. That's talking about a situation that you have a total of four strings. Kan source number one, which excluded kol ilan altogether. That's betalis bas shmoyne chutin. From this discussion, though, you may want to conclude that there's a possibility of removing tzitzis from one garment to another. So shamas mino matirin mibeged lebeged. Should we conclude from this discussion that if it were not for the kola elon issue, the practice of removing tzitzis from one garment to another would be totally acceptable? And as we mentioned earlier, this is a machlokis Rav and Shmuel, and should we therefore use this Tanaic source as a conclusion to one side in that argument, that one is allowed to be matir mibeged lebeged? The Gemara says no. Dilma de'i avad. Maybe what's being described here is if someone happened to remove, namely that one should not remove tzitzis from a perfectly good garment to use them in a second garment, but if one violated this expectation, namely of not removing, and he did remove, then the problem of kola elon being used in an article of clothing would arise. At this point, the Gemara features three machloikasim, points of controversy between Rav and Shmuel. The significance of this list, as far as our Gemara is concerned, is you'll be readily noticeable in the first machlokas that's featured. In order to keep track of these machlokasim, we've used a little numbers with diamonds around them, and this is indicated in our Mivneh heading in the outside margin. You can see we have little diamonds 1 through 3. Gimel machloikas Rav and Shmuel. Itmar, Rav Omar ein matirin mibeged lebeged. Rav is of the opinion that you're not allowed to remove tzitzis from a totally good garment, a garment in good shape to benefit a second garment. Shmuel Omar matirin mibeged lebeged. Shmuel is lenient and allows that. Rav Omar Ein Madlikin Miner Liner. If one has a Hanukkah menorah set up, one is not allowed to light a second Hanukkah candle from a first Hanukkah candle that's already burning. Therefore, according to this approach, we use a shamash. We use an outside candle, a candle that's not part of the mitzvah of Hanukkah, in order to light each candle separately. But Rav is saying not to use one of the formal or official Hanukkah candles to light the next one. Ushmuel Amar Madlikin Miner Liner. Shmuel feels there is nothing wrong with using one of the official Hanukkah candles to light the next one. Number three, Rav Amar Ein Halacha Kerabi Shimon Begreira. Ushmuel Amar Halacha Kerabi Shimon Begreira. Rabbi Shimon's halacha concerning Greira is featured a few lines later. You'll notice in the Gemara, the next framed text, the next brisa, it says, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Gorer Oda Mitos Kisei V'Safsol. This is a Shabbos-related halacha, and it involves the creation of a ditch on a dirt floor by the dragging of a bed, a chair, or a bench. Rabbi Shimon is lenient in his ruling and says one is allowed to drag one of these articles of furniture, provided he doesn't have an intention in making the ditch. If one on Shabbos were to intentionally make a ditch on the ground, that would be a malacha of Shabbos. What type of malacha it is, there may be different possibilities, but one likely candidate would be there's an isser of harisha in doing that, a type of action of plowing. However, if one has no plowing intention, he is simply interested in moving the bed from one spot to another, and in the course of dragging it, a ditch forms, Rabbi Shimon says, that's okay. So regarding this point, Rav says, Ein halacha Rabbi Shimon begreira. Rav rules stringently not to allow the dragging of the bed. Shmuel amar halacha Rabbi Shimon begreira. Shmuel rules like Rabbi Shimon. Omar Abaye, kol mili demar, ovid kerav. In general, Rabba, who's referred to by the term mor, Abaye says that his master, mor, who happened to be Rabba, followed Rav. Labar Mihani Tlas, with the exception of these three halachas that we mentioned and noted with our diamonds 1 through 3, the Ovid Kishmuel. And here the Gemara lists them off again. Rabba would allow Matirin Mibeged Lebeged. He would rule leniently in this case, and a leniently here with Madlikin Miner Liner, and finally, Vahalocha Krebi Shimon Begreira. And here the Gemara presents the source, the Sanya Rabbi Shimon Omer, Gorer Odom Mito Kisei Besafsol, a person is allowed to drag a bed, chair, or bench, Ubavad Shelo Yiskaving Lasos Kritz, provided he does not do so with the intention of creating a ditch. Going back to Tzitzis, Rav Yehuda Mosar Le Lekatsra. Rav Yehuda would give, Katsra is a washman, he would give his garment with the tzitzits in it to a launderer. Rav Chanina Ovid Lo Sisa. Rav Chanina, in giving it to a launderer, he would first roll up the tzitzits in a type of ball, like a ball of wool. He would roll them up into a ball so as to protect them from snapping off. Ravina Chayet Luhu Mechat. Ravina would form a type of pouch, if you will. He would sew the article of clothing in a fashion that he could then insert the tzitzis into this type of pocket, and thereby protect them when being laundered. At this point, the Gemara gets involved with a new discussion, and we have a topic heading on the outside margin under the Nosei heading. One point is Mispar Hachutim Shel Tzitzis Shemachnisim L'chor. How many strings to make tzitzis? How many strings does one insert into the hole in the corner of a garment? Second point, Shi'ur Tliyas Ha'anaf Milvad Hagdil. What is the necessary or minimum length of loose strings that dangle beyond the knotted, coiled section of the tzitzis? And a third point, shiur kirvas hatzitzis lekeren habeged, the distance that one must maintain from the corner of the garment. What is the distance from the corner in which the tzitzis are placed? Turning to the Gemara. Kamo chutin hu nosein. How many strings are placed in the hole? Beis Shammai omrim dalid, ubeis Hillel omrim gimel. Beis Shammai says four strings are placed in the hole, and Beis Hillel says three. V'kamo tehei mishuleshes. How much must be allowed to dangle beyond the knotted section of the tzitzis? Beis Shammai omrim dalid. Beis Shammai says four fingers, four etzbos. Beis Hillel omrim gimel, three fingers. The gimel shebeis Hillel omrim, the type of finger that Beis Hillel says when he says three fingers, achas me'arba betefach shel ko'odom. Each finger is one quarter of a hand breadth. We will see momentarily that really is a reference to thumbs. Four thumbs. The thumb is a thicker type of finger, so four thumb widths form a hand breadth. When Beis Hillel said the amount of loose tzitzis, of dangling tzitzis, strings, individual strings beyond the knotted part, he said three, he meant to say three thumb widths. Omar Abaye, tefach d'oraisa, the hand breadth of the Torah, it can be measured using different fingers. They all come out to the same hand breadth, but if you want to refer to, let's say, thumb, so he says, dalid or arba, begudel, gudel is the thumb, four thumbs. Alternatively, shis bigtana, six of the small fingers, the pinky, six pinkies would equal a hand breadth. Chomesh be'etzba v'tilsa. According to the Girsa, it seems to be that the etzba, the finger next to the thumb, you would have five and a third of those fingers would also be a hand breadth, a tefach. Omar Rav Huna, dalet besoich dalet umishuleshes dalet. That means four strings. Now we're getting to an amora level of presentation. Up till now, we saw Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel on this, and here the Amoroyim will state their opinions. So Rav Huna says four strings, besoch dalet, within four finger widths of the edge of the garment. Mishulesh is dalit, and as we saw before, they should dangle four finger breadths beyond the gedil, the knotted section. Rav Yudah Omar, gimel besoch gimel, mishulesh is gimel. Rav Yudah says, three strings within three finger breadths of the edge of the garment, dangling three finger breadths. Omar Rav Papa, hilchasa. Rav Papa rules, dalid, four strings are inserted, besoch shalosh, within three finger breadths of the edge of the garment, mishuleshes arba, dangling four finger breadths of loose strings. The Gemara asks, lemeimro deis lehu shiura, from what we've learned now, are you suggesting that tzitzis have a dimension, a measure? The Raminu, we have the following Tanaic source. It opens up with the word tzitzis, taken from the Torah. Tzitzis, ein tzitzis elo yotze. The word tzitzis has to do with something that goes forth, that extends. The ein tzitzis elo mashehu. The word, tzitzis suggests something that's just any amount. Ukvar olu ziknei beis Shammai v'ziknei beis Hillel, la'alias Yochanan ben Beseira, the Amru, the sages of the school of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel assumed the position in the Aliyo, the second story, the attic of Yochanan ben Beseira, the Amru, and they declared, tzitzis ein lo shiur, tzitzis have no measure, kayotze bo, similarly lulav ein bo shiur, the lulav has no dimension, no measure. My love, what does this mean? What must this mean? Ein law shiur klal, that has no measure, and that would raise a controversy or a contradiction to what was suggested above. We saw in the Tanaic source that preceded this, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel themselves indicating dimensions. So this seems to be contradictory. The Gemara says, Loi. Don't understand this source when it says Ein lo shir, meaning that it has no dimension whatsoever. But rather, as the Gemara continues onto Daf Mem Beis Amud Aleph at the top, Ein lo shi'ur lamala, it has no maximum shi'ur. In other words, the tzitzis could be as long as one wants it to be. Avol yesh lo shi'ur lamata, but it does have a minimum shi'ur. We should point out, by the way, that at the very bottom of Mem Aleph Amud Beis, we in effect begin a long answer. The word loy is the beginning of that answer, and you can see we have a vertical dashed line continuing down the top of Mem Beis Amud Aleph to complete the answer. The Gemara is in the meantime telling us that it does have a shiur lamata, meaning there is a minimum shiur, as we learned in the previous Taneg source, namely the source, not the bottom source, but the source second from the bottom of Mem Aleph Amud Beis. There is a minimum shiur. The ilo te mahachi, if you don't accept this explanation, namely the phrase ein lo shiur simply means there's no maximum, but there is a minimum, what about the following quote from the same source? Kayotze boi lulav ein lo shiur. In that same source at the bottom of Mem Aleph Amud Beis, it said that the lulav has no shiur, no measure. So hachi nami de ein lo shiur klal. Do you want to suggest for a moment that it means it has no measure whatsoever? Vatnan, but we have a Mishnah that says lulav sheish bo gimel tfachim kedei linanea boi kosher. That's what the Mishnah teaches in Maseches Sukkah, that a lulav that has a measure of 3 tefachim and a tefach with which to grab hold of it, kedei l'naneabo, that is kosher. So you see that the Mishnah declares that a lulav does have a shiur. Elo ein lo shiur lamalo, avol yesh lo shiur lamato. So in the case of the lulav, You have to conclude that it means it has no maximum shear. You can have a skyscraper lulav, so to speak, but a minimum shear of 3 tefachim plus something to hold it by, plus a tefach to hold it by, that a minimum shear you do require. So that's true by lulav. Hachinami, so too over here, in the case of the tzitzis, ein lo shiur lamalo, avo yesh lo shiur lamato, it has no maximum shiur, it has no maximum measure, but there is, in fact, a minimum measure. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.